Good morning. I got confused. I was greeting there for a moment. So sorry, I'm here a moment late. Good morning. We're studying Hebrews right now, and Peter did a great job Wednesday night and got us to Hebrews 11:7. And I'm not disappointed about that at all, Peter, but a great lesson Wednesday night. We're in chapter 11, and we're going to start with verse 8, hopefully get through this current section and at least get a good start on the next section if we don't get through that on 23 through 29. Good morning. I know we have a few visitors here, and I want to welcome everyone. If you don't have a Hebrews class book, we have one right here if anybody needs one. There you go. Anybody else? I'm suspecting with the amount of participation that there was Wednesday night, everybody has a book, and the comments were great on Wednesday night. It has been a blessing to have Andy put this class together, and Andy teaching it, and then Peter helping with that. It's certainly been a blessing to study this great book. Why don't we start with a word of prayer, if you'll pray with me. Our loving Father, we come to you this morning, Father. We ask your blessings on us. We ask your blessings on the family that meets here. Father, we ask that you'd bless this time that we can come together to study and learn more about your word and your will for us. God, we're so interested in your plan and in these chapters in this book and throughout your scripture. We can see so much of what your intent was, and that by learning, our faith gets deeper. Father, we pray that that is in fact what is happening. Father, we pray, thank you for Christ, our Savior, our High Priest, our perfect High Priest, our perfect King. Father, we pray that as we study that together in the discussion, we'll get greater understanding of what you'd have us learn from the book of Hebrews. Father, as we look at this, as it says in the scripture, we look to a city not built of hands, an eternal city in eternity with you. Father, be with us this morning. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start in verse 8. We're going to go through the first section, and we'll read 8 through 22 to start, just as a reminder. So Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8. And it didn't get said before, but this is that chapter we call the Faith Hall of Fame. It has a number of ways that it's referred to. But when we look at where it is, we've talked about a lot of things. This chapter specifically gives us examples of faith and those who are remembered in Scripture because of their faith and examples of their faith. And as you look at that, it can be examples to us, both encouraging and maybe even stirring and frightening, and things to learn and things to aspire to. But as we go through it, think about these as examples of what we've studied to this point and how it's looked at. And especially, I should get to reading, but when we think about it, all the examples are Old Testament. Faith is not a New Testament only concept. These are Old Testament people we'll be talking about. Chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, Therefore, there was born even one man, and him as good, even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, when he was dying, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. So as we look at this, we're going to see, we looked at, I'll digress just a little bit. In the first three verses of this chapter, it says that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. We saw that in the scripture. They were believers in things they had not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So we look at this, and we've discussed so many things about this. Now, the promises for those individuals of the Old Testament had not been fulfilled in their sight, but yet they are praised for being faithful. As we look at this, what is the main point of these verses we just read? What is the takeaway? And I probably have gone through it. We've said it. We said it partially on Wednesday night. Thoughts? I guess that's too simple of a question. Yes, Laura.
I was thinking that it was the Old Testament faithful and their actions.
So examples of the Old Testament faithful, as you said, and what they did because of their faith. Very good. And in particular, here we're going to, on Wednesday night, we talked about Abel, Enoch, we talked about others, and the list continues here as we look at this. So particularly today, we're going to talk about Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Let's look at the questions and then come back to what we have not discussed in terms of other interesting parts of this text. So question one says, describe the faith that was seen in the lives of each of the following. So describe what you've seen in the faith of Abraham. And we did just read about that. Larry.
We read in James chapter 2 where James says that Abraham's faith was made complete by what he did. So incomplete faith is not going to save it. It must be accompanied by actions that come from that faith.
Yes. And so he left his homeland. And would assume that, this might not be a good assumption, but he was familiar with it, maybe comfortable with it, maybe he had some status in it, But God asked him to leave, and he left, not knowing where he was going, not knowing how that was going to turn out, but he left. He made that faithful decision, that believing decision to do that. Yes, Clay.
I think it's interesting that it's not even one time I did this one thing in faith. This is continuous through this whole life of he went out, he obeyed, he listened. He never received here's the conclusion of this while he was here. So it really is about an entire time of life showing his faith in all of that.
So 8 and 9, you're right, the verses in 8 and 9 talk about him leaving his homeland. Then we see in 17, 18, and 19, he's asked to sacrifice his son. I mean, so Clay's point is this was a lifetime. He didn't say, I'm faithful now and I've done it, it's complete. He was faithful every day until his death. And as we think about that, it's not a, there's not a one and done. There's not, I'm there and it's good. It's every day. It's living a life of faith, completely. Other thoughts about this? Larry.
You know, Clay makes such a good point about it being continuous. So, Abraham was counted righteous because he believed God. And righteousness and salvation are not the same thing. So righteousness is rightness with God when he believed. It didn't mean that his ticket was punched to heaven at that point because he had to live a faithful life.
Right.
Yeah, in Genesis 12, after he has almost sacrificed Isaac, God says, now I know that you fear God. So he was
and the promise was going to come through his son. He had one. And to sacrifice it, that had to be faith beyond what we can imagine, because he knew that Isaac was the son of faith. It was going to be through him, and yet he was prepared, as God asked him, to sacrifice. And that was before there was any doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, but he believed it could happen. He believed something would happen. Clay.
Went out not knowing where he was going. I think that's an important part of understanding faith. What's going to happen to us tomorrow? I don't know. But I know God's got us, right? It's the same thing. We have this comment in here about what was going to happen with his son. I don't know. But I know God can raise him from the dead. So the idea of faith is we don't know what we still are going to live our lives trusting what God is doing.
Yeah. When we add that to what Benita said, he had a heart that told him that was right. I kid myself that I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I know what I intend to do, but there's going to be days or a particular day where I'm so wrong and I need to be ready for that day. And that is a continuous thing. All right, we looked at this, and I want to have more to say about this in a minute, but we see the actions that we can perceive that are documented about what Abraham did. He left and went to a place he didn't know in a land where he was an alien. And he's an alien in a land that God promised him would be the promised land. I mean, that sort of sounds like, all right, I'm here, but I'm still an alien. That might have been a moment of discouragement. It was not. And as we look at the individuals here, it's not for generations. So how do we describe faith as seen in Sarah's life? And there, the scripture there is verse 11. It says, she received the ability to conceive since she considered him faithful who had promised. And I can read that. I don't know entirely how those words go together. But she's in here for that act of faith, that consideration. Are there other thoughts, Mary? This was an impossibility as far as she was concerned. But yet, over time, she believed and it was fulfilled. And that had to take some adjustment, some daily sort of feedback and thoughts relative to that. But she's kind of faithful for that. Isaac, what did Isaac do? These next parts are short in terms of words in this scripture. They're short. And I want to visit that in a minute, but it says that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau even regarding things to come. And that's what it says he is faithful for. And it's fairly straightforward. I want to revisit that in a minute. Jacob, what was Jacob known for? As he was dying, he blessed Jacob and Esau by faith. Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. That picture was in my mind for a long time, and it was like, all right, I don't know what leaning on the top of his staff means here, but it means something, and I'll keep studying this. But there's a bigger message there, too. And then Joseph. It says that Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Those are fairly short comments. I want to take a minute and talk about that. And I'm going to try and give it and I found this in the study. I'm not sure that I should mention the name, but Matthew Henry sort of put a label on it. It's that faith that defeats death. The grace of faith is evident throughout their lives. And it's evident throughout a Christian's life, especially when it comes to death. And each of these, one of the things that's referred to is what happened at their death. To die to the Lord so as to honor him, patience and hope and joy, so as to leave a good witness. So at the point of death, we have no more reason not to be entirely honest. There's nothing to hope for. There's no gain. It is come to an end. It is ending. And so what better time to honor and to show faith. All of these individuals did that. And so when we say the Hall of Fame, and it refers to them, each one a little bit differently. So we're talking about death. In Psalm 116:15, it says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. It's sort of a morbid conversation, but there's no more honest time, and the death of a godly one is precious in God's sight. So when we think about this, it certainly would be something that would be reflected as a faithful act. So these individuals, throughout their lives, were perfectly faithful. No. They were like us. They had good days. They had bad days. They're documented. I mean, when you think about Isaac, how many times did he sort of turn Rebecca in? It was like, no. I mean, there were moments. But in total, they were faithful. They trusted God, sometimes imperfectly, but they did. And that's like us. They, in Scripture, though, at the end, their names appear favorably in Scripture. As we think about Joseph, he probably especially stands out. He was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He spent most of his adult life in Egypt. He was tempted and in hardship. As we think about it, he grew up completely apart from them in a different land, a foreign land. But the emphasis on this passage is that Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and I'm going to say Abraham, died in faith. What they did. It's difficult to anticipate and to face death. Whatever the ups and downs were in the lives of these people at that moment, they were clear. They did various things at the time of their death that proved that. God had promised Abraham three things: possession of the land of Canaan, creation of a great nation of his descendants, and the blessing of the world through his descendants. But he died and said to Isaac, "These promises will come to you." And in Isaac's life, God reaffirmed that twice. Isaac, I don't know whether he was trying to pull him back, but he reaffirmed it twice. Isaac died and did the same thing with Jacob. Jacob then did that with Joseph. And Joseph may be the most, he didn't live in the promised land. He was separated from them. As far as he knew, all of his brothers hated him. As far as he knew. He knew that. They didn't treat him right. But he counted it as good that he was there because he was able to save them. They didn't die even though they hadn't seen it. Think about Joseph. Four generations. I think it was two centuries, over 100, 200 years. Yet that faith was as fervent as when it was given to Abraham. Why wouldn't it be as fervent for us? I mean, these are examples for us to look at. And in their lives, they faced hardship, but I think it was said Wednesday night, believing is seeing. That certainly their belief in what they were told and the promises they received was absolute belief. They spent their lives, I assume they all did their best. And at the moment, generations beyond that, it says that, think about this, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus and gave orders concerning his bones. That seems, I mean, I think about that and it's like, where are you going to bury me? It's way beyond that. Because where did he want his bones taken? To the promised land. What did he believe? They were going to inherit the promised land. As surely as he wouldn't be alive, he still believed that all the promises were going to be delivered. So when we look in this hall of fame of faith, the words, I'm going to say this, the words are easy to read. They feel a little superficial till we think about what was going on at the moment of death when there's no reason to do anything but tell the truth and ask forgiveness and repent and do all those things. They were sure. Generations beyond, even to the point of saying, I need you to, I know I won't be there in life, but take my bones there. I need them buried there. And I could spend more time on this. But as we think about this, these examples are very, very rich. They tell us that even though the promises hadn't been delivered, even though they were generations old, believing was seeing. They knew. And we talked a little, We talked collectively. I was listening. But we talked Wednesday night about what faith is. And I think the word came up that it's evidence. What is evidence when we think about these individuals? Evidence. I think of a court of law and the things that that we would put in a court of law. But as we look at it, the Old Testament promises that were kept, the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled. We say that the Old Testament was training wheels. The things that they were learning about as types became real. They saw this happen, and that evidence is what we're talking about. Believing is seeing. The confirming promises, even though there were still promises yet to happen, were the evidence that make faith real. Wednesday we talked about Abel, Enoch, and Noah, and I liked Peter's comment about who would build an ark and take 100 years to do it. I mean, that had to be, in the real world at that moment, that had to be the most humiliating thing every day to say, what are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. What's an ark? I don't know. What's it for? I can tell you, but I'm not quite sure myself. But we need it. It's going to be there. Sam, you raise your hand.
What is the evidence of faith? There's this interlude part around 13 through 16.
Yes.
And then, I guess, starting 14. For those who say such things, make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That's just where this ends up. If you were a person with a faith mindset, because you're looking at God's promises and not fixated on the present situation where you are. And so this is a whole shaping of a mindset right here, and it kind of puts me to shame because of how much I struggle to think in this frame of mind. I do worry about a lot of things in the here and now, but this is that mindset that comes about faith. That's the evidence of faith that you
Thank you. Charity.
To that point, you know, I mean, this, the Hebrews were so set on such a physical worship that it really is, you know, this idea of, you know, stop thinking of all the physical worship, you know, in the tabernacle, and really focus and change your mind to a heavenly place, to, you know, this place that is more spiritual than it is physical. So I think that the writer really brings that in a ton in this letter.
I like that comment. I appreciate the comment. So when we see the people that are listed here, if you lived in this time that they were in, and the nation voted on who's going to be in the Hall of Fame of Faith, who's not there? There's nobody that made the, what is it, 800 rules of what we do physically to follow what was written in the Bible. There's not a high priest here that did those things. And at that point, though, based on the reverence of that nation and that culture and otherwise, they said, those are the great believers. Those are the most faithful. God had a completely different idea. Your point, when we think about it, this is not about the physical compliance with a set of rules. This is about the, I'm going to live my life to end up in a country, a city not made with hands, and I'm going to do it based on the promises, not on the what I think I can't do. When you think about that, where did you cut that off? Who's not in there? Well, it's pretty obvious. They're not there. Larry?
This word inheritance we see in verse 8 is so important. Though it was Abraham's descendants, those that were in his family, that would receive the inheritance. And we see that played out in the new covenant, in rebirth. You have to be in the family to receive the inheritance.
You know, I think it was today, it was Thursday, and I'm studying this, and I'm going, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. In the family, it wasn't blood anymore. It was faith. Sorry, I can't sing it, but sorry about that. But it was just rolling in my head so loud to say, this is that connection. This is where it started. This is by faith. We've got the example. That's great comments. Thank you. As we think about this, Sam's comment, I'm going to get ahead of myself just a little bit. Hopefully I'll catch up. But when we think about Moses, who was sort of the, and I'm getting ahead, the next section, and he was the adopted son of Pharaoh. And I hope I'm not saying that too strongly, but he certainly was part of that royal family by the way he was raised. But yet he chose not to take part in that season of wealth for the eternity in heaven. And I was thinking in our current life, in our current world, if somebody had that choice, what would they do? And I thought, well, they'd probably stick around and say, I like this pretty good. Or if they chose to follow God, to follow Christ, so many of them now would say, I think I can have both. I think I can do both. I'm going to keep this and also say I'm this or say I'm this and be that. And most certainly in that choice, they'll end up with neither. But it's hard to tell. There's such a sense of the world has such a different sense of what's going on. But Moses had that choice. And rather than maybe doing somebody in our life we might read about in the newspaper saying, I want both, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be bold, I get that, and I'm this. Well, pretty sure you're not either if you do that. So that was maybe a reach on that comment, but the idea there is amazing to me what he would give up and the clarity with which he did it. Are there any other things in this section that you'd like to bring up that we didn't talk about? There's a lot here. It's deep. I'd challenge you to think about what it means and at the moments that were pointed out in the lives of these faithful people, how can I relate to that? Because it's difficult. Thoughts? Sarah?
This might be like rolling back too far, but I just, as I was sitting here thinking and listening, it's really interesting to me, like, before, how, like, there's no examples in here of people who are really good role followers. I think about the high priest or anything. Like, and you think about, you know, there's not even a mention of, like, Aaron, their first high priest. His, you know, his budded staff was put into the ark, this thing that the Jews respected so much. It was such a big deal. And yet, it was Moses.
And when you start to think about the amount of time we read in the scripture that's there, there's a lot of mention of that. And there we see a lot of examples in scripture of, and we got said sort of the training wheels. Why do we do the things we do? There were types. And there being rules, I guess, ways of living, there was a type of that. And Aaron was the type for the high priest that Christ became. And I think that as we understand that the Levitical or the, I never can say this right, the Aaronic priesthood was that annually they could ask for forgiveness. But now every day permanently Christ is in the Holy of Holies interceding constantly. There was a type and now that. And I don't know why, Aaron certainly, there were moments where he was faithful. I don't know why he's not in there. But I do know that when it got away from faith and became rules and restrictions and other things, they're not there. And I don't know whether I should read something into that. I tried to. Or whether I shouldn't. But good comment. and sort of, I didn't know where you were going with rule following. I thought you were going to go, stop giving us rules. But great comment, Sarah. Clay.
You brought up the idea that faith of the idea of decision. And I just think that's, it's just something for us to remember, the idea of we get our faith from studying the scriptures, of seeing the example of these people's lives over and over, where they went through struggles or they went through things. And like the idea in verse 22, where it says, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, gave instruction concerning his bones. It's just a, it's like, it sounds like, oh, he just made mention of it. If you go back and look at it, he says, Joseph said to his brother, I am dying, but God will surely visit you. He will bring you out of this land, to the land which he swore to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones to Aaron. And you look at Joseph's life, it was not, God held his hand, everything was peaches and cream. But when he went through all of these things, trusting in God, and then when his brothers came to him, he said, I see what God has done.
He never, at that moment, when there could have been at least a, I told you so, he didn't do that. His mind was about the promise, about the providence of God, about everything of that.
But we can see that in our lives too, if we will look at it and not just blindly, okay, I have to believe this thing. No. You can read the scriptures and see that God has been faithful, and if you look at your own life, God has been faithful to us.
So it says in the scripture that they saw this far in the distance. How does that relate to us? I mean, we're reading about that it happened. They got the promised land and all that. Is the distance still important for us? Yes. Mary.
Well, in the place point too, like Joseph can do all these really awful things, right? But then
I think you're right about Joseph. I think he kept that. If we compare the people here, Isaac had to be reassured, had, and was not always on task. But ultimately there, and you think about Joseph, and I mean, the great troubles he suffered without ever appearing, and I'm going to say this, rarely appearing to have broken his spirit. And even in the Hall of Fame, there are differences. And it basically says, never give up. I mean, it tells us this may be a long journey, and there are going to be tests that you didn't expect. Don't stop. Don't stop. And the measure was when they were dying. What did they say? What did they do? How did they reflect it? I don't think that's accidental that that's what got listed there. I think that was very purposeful. So, I didn't promise anybody where we'd end, but let's at least look at some thoughts about the next section, if y'all are okay with that for just a moment. Verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And therefore, strengthen. I am stuck here in the wrong spot. By faith, Moses. All right, let's get there. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. And we've referred back to some other verses as we've studied the last, and this is rich in reference to the Old Testament. It is the background of this. In the next section, and I'm going to just go through this, I think we'll need to pick this up again on Wednesday. But the first question said, describe how faith was seen in Moses' life with the verses I just read quickly. Faith accepts God's plan in verse 23. Faith rejects the world's prestige in verse 24. Moses rejected that. It rejects the world's pleasures. It rejects the world's plenty. It rejects the world's pressure. And it acts on God's provision in verse 28. As we think about that, trying to get that, we can go back to so much rich text in this, and it is there. But as we think about it, how does it relate to us? And I was saying a minute ago, you know, what he could have just said, I want all of that and all of this. That's sort of what would happen. I was trying to figure out what would happen current time. Somebody would say, I want it all. That's just the way it goes. But it says specifically, reject the world's prestige. I mean, and that may be too strong a comment, but we have blessings. But to make that the point of life, to make that the goal of what we're doing, is telling us not to do that. To reject the world's pleasures, which are traps. They take us away. To reject the world's plenty. To make accumulation. And if you think about Moses and Egypt, I think that at the time of his being there, they were the richest country on earth. I mean, fabulously rich. Go a step below. 98% of the population was in poverty. The Pharaoh had all of that net worth. It was, he would have been part of, no doubt, one of the richest families or the richest, he might have been the richest person in the world, walked away from it. That he didn't want that to be what he was about. And as you think about that next section, think about those, I might have covered enough of it, I don't know, but as you think about it, each verse tells us something about what we can do in our lives rather relative to the promise and our faith. So thank you, and thanks for your participation. I think Andy will be back Wednesday night. thank you very much.